Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.HearGod'sWord@Bethlehem.com or podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
We thank you, Lord, tonight we come into the household of faith. We thank you, Father, that you have sent us here tonight, Lord, to be encouraged in the faith, Father. And we pray, Father, that we might be able to be filled tonight at the spiritual filling station, Father, that as you've sent us here to the midweek, Father, you would give us what we need, Lord, to make it until Sunday morning. Father, be with us tonight and have it our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. And praise the Lord. Again, we thank you for being in the household of faith tonight. And we're encouraging you. I'm gonna try to keep it short tonight because we're starting what I'm calling our evangelism revival tomorrow night at 6:30. Tomorrow night at 6:30, we want you to be in the house to get what God has for you. The Reverend Eddie Copeland Jr. is going to be here, and we pray that we would have a good time in the Lord. Amen? Amen. We are continuing a series tonight. We've been in this series this month. We're talking about make him known through giving. Make him known through giving. Deuteronomy 16:17 says that each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way that the Lord your God has blessed you. And tonight we're going to be sharing a message entitled How to Open the Floodgates of Heaven. How to Open the Floodgates of Heaven. We're going to talk about, come from Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. It's in your handouts. And I believe it's two slides on the screen, or three slides on the screen. Let's read this out loud together at the same time. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, and I believe this is the NIV. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Then all nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Says the Lord Almighty. Tonight, we're talking about how to open the floodgates of heaven. And tonight, we're going to talk on around 3 points. We're going to talk about the rob of giving, the reward of giving, and the reassurance of giving. The rob of giving, the rewards of giving, and the reassurance of giving. And we want Christians to know tonight that Christians should give to God to be blessed by God. Christian should give to God to be blessed by God. Most people don't know that song that says, "Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain." It's almost a direct quote from Malachi chapter 3 and the NIV. As I said when I began this series, that song resonated with me as I was pastoring in West Texas. And it was something that really captured my imagination and many other Christians' imaginations as the preacher, Paul Morton, penned the words to that song, "Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain." And I'm almost tempted once again to try to sing the song, but I'm going to stick to my gifts. But you know I want to sing, "Open the floodgates of heaven, let it rain, let it rain." And that is a really awesome, awesome song. I really love that song. It really touches me. As they say, it's an anointed song. "Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain." And like I said, I love that song, but if we really want to open the floodgates of heaven, and we really want to let it rain in our lives, we've got to understand the context of Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. We really want those floodgates of heaven to be open. This is what you have to do. Say to your neighbor, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
or neighbor,
neighbor,
you want the floodgates?
This is what you
have to
do."
First of all, if you want to open the floodgates of heaven, and if you want him to rain down blessings in your life, you're going to have to come to terms with this first point, the robbing of giving. And you say, "Preacher, now how can you rob and give at the same time?" Really, you can't rob and give at the same time. Not God. Hello, somebody. Not God. For the text says, "Will a mere mortal rob God?" Some of us who grew up in our convention, is this text was quoted before every offering, and it was quoted in the King James, and the King James says, "Will a man rob God?" He posed the question. Will a man rob God? That's a rhetorical question. Will a man rob God? And the answer to that question should be no. A man has got enough sense to know that he cannot rob God. Man should have enough sense to know that he can't jack God. Man should have enough sense. But in this text, oh, we have people who were literally robbing God and trying to act like they didn't know what was going on. The text says, "Will a mere mortal rob God?" Rhetorical question. The answer to the question is, "Yet you rob me." And this is God talking. "But you rob me," and then you try to act naive. You try to act like you don't know what's going on, like you don't know what's happening. But he says, "But you ask this question, how are we robbing you?" Try to act like you don't know that you're robbing God. You ask the question, "How are we robbing you?" And God has the answer to how the people of God in this text, in this context, was robbing God. How were they robbing God? Did they have a mask and poke in the doors of the church and took the offering that they jack? You know, there was a story in Dallas about how
people have gotten the audacity to literally come in and rob the church. And they would come in and literally rob the church. But God was not talking about you jacking, robbing on a Sunday morning. He said, this is how you rob me. It's not that you robbed me, you gave it and you stole it. It's just you really just didn't give it all. Hello, somebody. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob the church? You should say no. But God is saying in this context is that you're robbing me in the tithes and offering. We talked about tithes before. Tithes is a tenth part, 10 cents on a dollar. Every member of Bethlehem is expected to be a tither. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Are you a member?
Neighbor.
Hello, somebody. This would be very controversial for me to say that membership costs, but it's controversial in the church, but anywhere else. Hello, somebody. You're going to have to pay money up front to be a part of any organization. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. I said it's expected of you. At other places, it's not even expected. It is a given. And I go to the gym, I go in the gym in the morning, and I walk in, and I have free privileges. It seems like it's free because I walk up in there, but I can't get in there until I pay a membership fee. And there's some places like Sam's Club where not only do you buy food, but you got to pay a membership to even come in and buy the cheap food. There are so many other places where there is a membership fee in the city. You want to join the Y, there's a membership fee. Oh, there's membership. For every membership, there is a fee. So why does it become so controversial for the people of God to expect it? Why is it so controversial for God to expect? He says, tithes, a tenth on a dime on every dollar, and offerings. Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
Or neighbor,
neighbor,
are you robbing God?
Are you robbing God?
You are robbing God if you do not pay what God expects you to pay. Hello, somebody. And you are robbing God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Oh,
neighbor. Oh, you jacking God. A dime on a dollar don't seem much to me. A dime on a dollar. Especially if you're going to see the benefits of having that dime on a dollar. Because every membership fee, you get benefits for the membership fee. There's always benefits. And there's benefits to giving. And also, you're going to see a little later in the text that there's a benefit to giving, and a little later there's something that you don't get the benefit of because you don't give. Hello, somebody. Will a man rob God? Yes, many times every Sunday, he or she is robbing God. Hello, somebody. What does this text say? Nehemiah 13:11 says, so I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. You see, when you rob God, the house goes neglected. So somebody said that, you know, if everybody in the church would just pay their tithes, if they would just pay a dime on every dollar, we would need to have a building fund. We'd just be able to go on out and build because we would have the monies that we need to build a new building, and we wouldn't have to ask you to give what the second part talks about, offerings. Hello, somebody. If we would all just do what is required to do. Hello, somebody. Ask your neighbor again. Neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Are you robbing God?
Robbing God?
Are you robbing God? See, when you rob God, the things at the church house go neglected. Hello, somebody. We can't do what we need to do, what we should do. Hello, somebody. In this text, in Malachi's time, the people were guilty of robbing God in tithes, a tenth part, and offerings. See, most of the times, I think I've been here almost 5 years, and you probably count on one hand that I've done a sermon on giving, because pastors and ministers like me don't like to talk about money, because there's so many other people out there that are supposed to be what I am, and they're misusing the money. And the sad part about it is that folk will give to these kinds of people. They'll be on television telling you what they need and what they want, and they'll take the money that they get in from the church. They take the money what we call the widow's mite. Hello, somebody. And they'll buy all these other things that is not needed. Got 5 different houses, helicopters, limousines, all off of what's supposed to be God's money. Hello, somebody. We're supposed to support the ministry of the church, not the comfort of the men and women who's supposed to be men of God. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Yes. And that's why people like me don't like to talk about it all the time. But when I do talk about it, I talk about it thoroughly. Hello, somebody. Oh, because it's thought to be bad stewardship to not tell you how you can be blessed. And if you want to be blessed of God, if you want the windows of heaven to be open, and if you want the floodgates to open and let it rain where you don't have room enough to receive, then you will have to do what this text says. You got to try God. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, try God in this area. Try God in this area. The robbing of giving, and we can talk about the reward of giving. This is what God says. Bring the whole tithe. Hello, somebody. Somebody ain't been given a dime on a dollar, but you have been given a nickel on a dollar. Somebody hasn't been given the whole tithe. You've been given 3 cents on a dollar as opposed to 10. He says, bring the whole tithe. Bring the whole dime on a dollar. I can remember, we took up these offerings, the dimes for Haiti, and in our little church, I forgot how much we raised, but it sure was a lot from a dime. How much was it? $300, just dimes, $300, dime on a dollar, $300, didn't look like much, but it added up to be much. Hello, somebody. You're thinking that you're not robbing God. You're not. You know, you give the way you want to give. You give instead of a dime on a dollar, you give a dollar every Sunday. Hello, somebody. He says in the text, bring the whole tithe and to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And then he tells you to do something that he doesn't say for you to do anywhere else in the Bible. This is how important this lesson is. This is very important. Stop, look, and listen. He's trying to tell you something. He says, should test him. Hello, somebody. And most of you know, you're really not supposed to be testing God. You're really not supposed to be trying God. Well, you know what? You're really not supposed to try God, but only in the areas into which he says to try him. And this is the only area in the Bible where he says to try him. Hello, somebody. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, poor neighbor, this is the only area where he says to test me. Hello, somebody. The owner. Now, you can go on top of the building. rather than try to test the laws of gravity and think that you're so anointed and appointed that you can go up on the highest building and you have such a personal relationship with God that you can step up on the top of that high building and you can believe in your heart and your mind that God is going to catch you, and you step out to try him and you jump. Guess what? Splat. Because he didn't say try him in this here. He didn't say try him that way. Hello, somebody. He said, you want to be spiritual. A lot of people like to be spiritual and try to be all sanctimonious and think they're holier than thou in all these other areas. But you want to show what you really believe about God. What you show what you really believe by God is really is in your pocketbook. Hello, somebody. It's really in how much you give. Hello, somebody. If you want to be blessed, oh, then you've got to give. Hello, somebody. He says, test me in this. Test me. The Lord Almighty says, test me. The Lord Almighty says, test me. It's not Pastor Etern telling you to test him in this area of giving and see, won't you be rewarded? This says the Lord Almighty. Hello, somebody. If you want to test somebody, and he says test them in this area, somebody I want to test need to have all my, especially when it comes to my money. Because people say, preacher, I'm barely making it. You're telling me that I'm supposed to give to God first before I pay my bills? If I give to God first and I try him in this area, I won't have enough to make it. You see, if it was Pastor Etern saying this, then guess what? You might have a problem. But if it's the Lord God Almighty saying it, then what he's saying is you won't have any problems when you put him first. Try him. Amen. Hello, say to your neighbor, neighbor, try him. Try him. Bring the whole tithe. Bring that dime on a dollar. If you make 100, how much will you try God with? How much? Is that it? That's it? 10? On a, how about 200? How much would I? $20 on? I have 200, and that's all God wants me to try him with? Is this $20? Is $20 going to stop my lights from coming on? Is $20 going to get my water cut off? Is $20, hello, going to make me have to miss lunch? Okay. Now, here's where we have the problem. But if you make $2,000, that's why it's hard for people who make a lot of money, to try God in this area, because that money, wait a minute, $200 going out the window. That's the way you look at it. Remember the first study I said, if you hadn't listened, go back on the website. God expects us to give proportionally, and your proportional giving, and this is what we talk about, a dime on a dollar. Oh, the richer folk become, the harder it is for them to try God in this area. Because to them, that money starts at, you see, on $200, $20 is nothing. On $2,000, $200, it seems to be a lot, but it's proportionally the same. Say to your neighbor, it's proportionally the same. It's still not much. You got $1,800 that you, okay, then. Don't let you get really, really blessed, okay? The Lord bless you with a job, and you make it, $100,000 a year! Praise the Lord! I made it! How much is that? $10,000? You're like, wait a minute. wait a minute, Lord. I love you, but I think I'm just going to go and just give you this $200. Hello, somebody. That's why God has to say, bring the whole tithe, because the more I bless you, oh, it's the same giving, really, proportionally, it's the same. Oh, okay. How about the Lord, I play football and I get, woo, I sign me a five-year, $50 million contract. Praise the Lord. How much should I give to God? Y'all need to add that up, don't you? Huh? Wait a minute. Did you say 5 million? Is that right? Is that 10%? Now can you see why it's so hard for blessed folk to give? It's proportionally the same. Is it 500,000? Okay. 500,000, okay. It's what we say, 50 million. 50 million. 5 million. Okay, we were right the first time. See how it was so hard for you to get that contract, boy, you be looking. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I love you, Lord, man. And that's why most of us, a lot of us won't make it to that point, because we're not even trusting God. Oh, on $100. He can't trust you on $100. Hello, somebody. And we'll never make that point. We'll never grow. And if we do get blessed, we'll do what? We'll rob God. Hello, somebody. You rob God. And the sad point about it is, and this is why God is so big and we're so small. The sad point about it, you sign your $50 million contract and you show up here on Sunday morning, walk through these doors, and you hand us a million dollar check. What are we going to say? But what God's going to say, you robbing me. Ooh. Praise the Lord, we can build our building. But God said, you robbing me. You kept $4 million of my dollars. Ooh. Hello, somebody. That's why you really don't know when it's time to give. You really don't know what people are giving or not. At some churches, and you hear me be critical. I try not to be so critical, man. But some churches I went to, and there was $1,000 line. And folks stand up and they give $1,000. And you know what? On Sunday morning, if people just automatically just stood up here and wanted to give $1,000, what would we say? Glory to God! But they're making $100,000 a week and giving $1,000. Hello, somebody. You don't know how much folk are giving, really? We can say, praise God for your giving, when God said you ain't giving enough. Hello, somebody. But there's somebody here God wants to bless. And he's saying, test me in this. Test me. Try me. The Lord Almighty, the God who created something out of nothing. Theologians call that ex nihilo, something out of nothing. The God that didn't need nothing to start something says, try me in this. Oh, you won't be able to add it up. Oh, but I'll tell you, I'll give you some insight on what would happen if you test me in this. Let me tell you what's going to happen. He says, and see if I will not throw open what? The floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Rewards from God, okay? Rewards from God. Try him. He says, if you try me in this area, if you really want to sing that song and mean it, that anointed song we sang, that appointed song, open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. You lose that note when that play comes out. You're looking at me crazy. Wait a minute, preacher. We don't take up offers on Wednesday night. Put that back. Hello, somebody. Put that down. Put it down. If you really want to open those floodgates, try God. A dime on every dollar. And try him, test him, try him to the fullest of your ability. When you have 100, try him at 100. When you have 200, try him at 200. When you have 300, try him. Oh, when you have 400, try him. Oh, when he gives you, 10,000, try him. Oh, when he gives you 20,000, try him. Oh, when he gives you 100,000, try him. Oh, when he gives you 1,000,000, try him. Oh, when he gives you 20 million, try him. When he gives you 50 million, try. When he gives you 100 million, try. Keep trying him. Try him. Oh, and if you keep trying him, you may end up being one of the richest men or the richest women in the world. Just keep trying him. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, no matter how God bless me, I'm going to try him more. Hello, somebody. Your income may continue to go up, and then you may decide to do like they said, the Christian who by the name of J.C. Penney, he says, God bless him so much on the tip that he kept trying God. He kept trying God. And then as a result, he gave 90% of his money to God and was living on 10% because he was so blessed. Hello, somebody. You want to open the floodgates of heaven? Try him. Oh, if you want to really feel the rain, try him in this area in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You want to truly be blessed. And I'm not saying that God's going to make you a millionaire. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you're going to be blessed. And really, that's all that matters, because most people that have money have more, what they say, more money, more problems. Hello, somebody. But you say, well, I got to experience that for myself, preacher. I can't just say that's what they say, but I don't personally know that. Oh, but if you look at a lot of people that win the lotto, their lives end up tragic. Hello, somebody. There was this older woman. She won the biggest thing on record, and I think she was like 80-something years old. And the first thing that I thought was, man, she's too old to go through all that drama that she's about to go through. Because when you have money, oh, people become very, people will kidnap your family members to get some of your money. Hello, somebody. False and fake friends will be mugging you. Oh, family that you don't even know will call you. Oh, I'm Uncle AJ, Uncle Word Earl, and Uncle Juju's brother on the third, fourth, twice removed. He told me to give you a call, and I need some money. Hello, somebody. You be like, who is this? And how did you get my number? Folks will get your number. Oh, when you have money. More money, more problems. And if you get it that way, it comes with problems. God knows how to bless you without the problems. Hello, somebody. I had a friend of mine that sit in my office. He said he had a lot of money but at one time in his life, but he says, this money, I'm really blessed. And what I have less, but it lasts more. Hello, somebody. Try God, the rewards of try him. You really want the windows of heaven to be thrown, try him. Like I said, I'm not saying that God's going to make you rich, but what I'm really saying is point number three, the reassurance of giving. Wait a minute, let me read this this text here, Joel chapter 2, verse 19. It says, the Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain, new wine, and all enough to satisfy you fully. Never again will I make you an object of scorn to the nations. God has, when you try him, he has the ability to bless you. Somebody said that your blessings can find you out. Your blessings can overtake you. Have you ever had a blessing overtake you? I can remember we was hosting an event here at the, I think it was here, yeah, here. And our president, his blessings overtook him. He talked about how he had to go somewhere and he had to use his own expenses. And he wasn't saying that because he wanted more money, but a spontaneous offering took place. He didn't want the money. They forced him to take the money. That's what God can do for you. Your blessings can overtake you. He can find you out. In the same way your bill collectors can find you out. Hello, somebody. You say, yeah, they can find me out. They call me at work. They call my cell number. They emailing me. They texting me. God can do that and more if you try him. He says, I can send you grain. I can send you new wine and oil. That means I can bless you enough to satisfy you fully. Most people in this area, if you ask them about money, they can have $100 million and you ask them, what is it that you want? And they'll tell you more. Hello, somebody. Somebody with $1 billion, you ask them, what is it that you want? They'll say, more. Because they can never be satisfied. God says, I can give you so much to a point where you can be satisfied. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. You say, well, I sure wish I could try. I could experience that. Well, try him. Hello, somebody. Try him in this area. Because when you try him, you get reassurance. In the movie, one of my favorite movies, I'm not telling you to go out and get it. It's called The Blind Side. Blind Side. And at the beginning of the movie, the woman says there's two checks there's a second check that you write after you write the first check. The first check is to the mortgage. The second check is to the insurance. Hello, somebody. But this is the insurance that God is giving. He says, when you stop robbing me, I will reward you. And sometimes the reward is simply being able to keep what you have. Hello, somebody. Say, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean to keep what you have? Well, let's read this text. It says, this is the reassurance of giving. He says, I will prevent pests from destroying your crops. And the vines in the fields will not drop their fruits before it is ripe, says Lord Almighty. Hello, somebody. God says he can prevent some things from happening. Many times the tragedies that we go through in our lives, whether it's our car breaks down or a refrigerator breakdown, seem like everything's always breaking down. Many times that's a sign of somebody that's robbing God. Hello, because there's somewhere a mechanic is paying his tenth part. And God says, well, this person is robbing me. He think he robbing me, but I'm going to break his car down. He have to come to him, and he's going to get blessed. He's going to give me my 10%. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. The plumber. Oh, your plumber's always backed up. What's in your stomach to me? May not be in your stomach that's backing stuff up. It may be what's not in your bank account. Hello, somebody. person breaks down all the time, that's a sign of, that can be a sign of somebody who's robbing God. If you say, and you come here today saying, there ain't nothing going right. Maybe nothing's going right because you're not giving. Hello, somebody. You're not trying God in this only area in the Bible where it says to try him. Hello, somebody. You're robbing him, and you don't have reassurance, nor do you have insurance. Talks about whole bin in our pocket. Have you ever seen somebody that just can't keep money? It just goes right through your pocket, your bliss. Oh, but it just goes right through your pocket. That's something, somebody that's not giving. You're not giving. That's why you're not being blessed. You're not giving. Because the reassurance of the reward is that God preserves. Hello, somebody. A lot of folk may like the kind of car that I drive, and it looks brand new, but it's really 10 years old. Hello, somebody. It's God's preserving. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. A lot of people might like the suits that I wear. Hey, they look brand new, but they're really God's preserving. God has the preserving ability. God, oh, when the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, guess what? They clothes didn't wear out, nor did their shoes wear out, because God had the power to preserve. Hello, somebody. God has the power to preserve, but you've got to try him. You've got to get this reassurance. Got to get this reassurance. This is how you open the floodgates of heaven. Hello, somebody. And there may be somebody here today. Maybe you've been giving, and it's like, for you, it's like a Job situation. You're just being tried. And God has taken everything away, but you have been faithful in your giving. And he took what is called your righteous state. There's a righteous state, which a righteous state means that you do everything right before God and you are blessed by God. That's the righteous state. But every once in a while, God will take the righteous state away, and you'll look like somebody that's not giving. And you think that, and you'll be struggling like Job struggled, and you look and you go back in your life and say, well, I did everything right, but things are going wrong. But it's in those times that God wants, he wants you to glorify him even when you don't have nothing at all. And once you pass this test, he'll return your righteous state. Because what happened with Job is he lost it all, but God gave him, when he made it through, double back. Hello, somebody. That's why I get that saying, double for your trouble. Hello, somebody. And God, to somebody tonight, you're saying that I've tried him. I've been doing right. I've always done right. I've always tried him, but I'm going through a hard time, and the windows of heaven seem to be closed. The floodgates of heaven seem to be closed. Well, you're just going through a time, a time of testing. And if you're faithful through that testing, then God will open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. This is one of my favorite texts in Joel. He says, I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten. He's saying to somebody tonight that he's getting ready to restore you, because you've been doing the right thing. You've been faithful. It's been hard. You've had a little strength, but you kept his word. And he's saying tonight that he's getting ready to restore you. To restore you. Because you're not robbing me. You deserve a reward. And there is reassurance from his word tonight. That's reassurance from his word. Like I said tonight, I'm not saying that God is going to make everybody in here a millionaire. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, is that if he can't trust you as a 100-year, why would he make you a millionaire? Hello, somebody. If he can't trust you as a 1,000-year, why would he make you a millionaire? If he can't trust you as a dollar-year, why would he make you a 100-year? Hello, somebody. He can't trust you as a penny-nair. Why would he trust you? So, I'm saying, if you want to be a millionaire, because he does have the power to give you millions. He does have that power. But he will not make you a millionaire if he can't make you a 1,000-year. And trust you. Hello, somebody. Many times we are broke because God can't trust us. Hello, somebody. Let me say it again. Ask your name. Is it you? We're broke because, and I've seen it just look around here, you know, why a person didn't have a car, they was at church every Sunday, Wednesday night. God bless them with a car, and they disappear. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. When that person didn't have a job, was at church, every day. Every day, young folks say. Every day. Hello, somebody. Gave them a job, and disappear. Hello, somebody. While you were single, you was at church every Sunday. She got a boyfriend, a girlfriend. What is it?
Come on,
dog. Oh, no, she must find her a man, child. I's married now. Many times God can't bless, can't trust us with a blessing. Hello, somebody. I think I may be guilty of that too. Because, you know, I love Bethlehem. You know, I love Bethlehem. But if God gave me $200 million, I don't know if I'd be here. I sent some money back now. Yeah, tell the truth, Second Devil. So well, you better learn how to trust him. You can be blessed with $200 million and stay here. But that's why he can't bless us many times, because we mess up a blessing. Blessings are like lifting weights. You have to increase a little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Before you can really, truly be blessed. And that's what this proportional giving is. You start where you are. And God continues to bless you. And you give more, and you give more, and you give more. And you have such a heart for God that no matter how much he gives you, you're always going to try to trust him, or try him, or test him. That's the kind of people that God wants to make. That's the kind of people that God needs for such a time as this. People whose heart is so into God that it doesn't matter what their bank account says. Hello, somebody. You have millions of dollars, but you're still here every Sunday and desperate, like you don't have no money at all, because you know you need God more than money. Hello, somebody. God wants to bless us. He does. He wants to open those floodgates of heaven. He's given us all the same opportunity to be blessed. But in order to be blessed, you have to give. Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor,
oh neighbor,
oh, neighbor.
to be blessed.
In order to be blessed,
you have to give. Shall we pray? Father God, I just want to thank you and praise you, Lord, tonight for all that you've said in your word tonight, Father. For there's some people here tonight, and I really, Lord, they not only do they want to be blessed, but they need to be blessed, Father. Some, Father, need to be blessed to fulfill the destiny, Father, that you have on their lives and the callings that you have on their lives, Father. It's a calling, Father, to be blessed, Lord. So help them, Father, to try you right now where they are, Father, to grow into the blessings that you want to give them in the future, Father. We all, Father, want to experience the windows of heaven opening and us being blessed so much that we don't have room enough to keep it, that we have to give more away because you've given us so much, Father. We all, oh Father, need to be blessed. We all, oh, want the windows of heaven to open, and Father, we all want it to rain in our lives, Father. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would, oh, make us, Lord, obedient to your words, and we would try you in this only area in the scriptures where it says to try you, Father. And may we see that the Lord God Almighty is as who he says he is. And the Lord God Almighty can make ways out of no ways because we've learned to trust you, Father, in our giving. We've learned to trust you with our money, Father. We put our heart in you as opposed to in finances and financial gains and materialism, Father. We trust you and we continue to trust you and we continue to grow, Father, in our giving, and you continue to expand the windows of heaven, and we create all reciprocal blessings because you blessed us first, as we learned last Wednesday, Father. You sorted this out first. You blessed us in the beginning at the start of things, and as a result, our response is we bless you back, Father, in Jesus' name. We come tonight, Father, needing the windows of heaven to open, Father, to accomplish your will for this church, to build this new building, Father. We need you to open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain, Father, but enable us to give even that just little bit that we've asked others to give to the building fund. Just enable us to give us that 10.2 the building Fund, oh Father, that we might be able to see your work, that we might be able to see your move, that you might be glorified in this church, that people would look back 10, 20 years from now and wonder, how did them folk build this building? How was it done, Father? And they can only conclude that it must have been God. In Jesus' name, there's others who are here tonight. Oh, and they need to try you in this area of giving, oh Father, so that you can preserve their household, preserve all their retirement funds, their 401k, preserve all their cars, oh, preserve all the little money that they have, the little clothing that they have, that they may preserve everything that they need, Father, that they may preserve the children's education and college, that they may preserve, that you will open those windows of heaven and pour out, Father, not only financial blessings, but healing, Father, for their bodies, healing, Father, for their souls, healing, Father, for the people that they intercede on behalf, healing, Lord, help them to trust you, Father, that the windows of heaven of your soul salvation can rain down in this place on those that are in the box in Jesus' name, because we decided to trust you in our finances. You decided to save all of our children. You decided to save an unsaved mate. You decided to to save our neighbors, you decide, you begin to open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Father, oh Father, you let it rain so much that we're in good health. Oh, we no longer need blood pressure medicine. We overcome diabetes. We overcome in our bodies because we decided to trust you and give it, Father, and you began to heal our bodies and make us whole and make us well again, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Open, Father, the floodgates of heaven right now. Oh, and let it rain, Father. We need thee, oh, we need thee, Father. Right now, we need thee, Lord, to touch everybody here, Father, that came here, Father. Oh, heavy laden and burdened down, Father. Touch their bodies, touch their minds, loose them, and let them go, Father, in Jesus' name, that they may leave this place. Oh, oh, with less weight, leave this place. With peace of mind, leave this place. With joy, leave this place. With reassurance that you're a God who can deliver, Father. You're a God that can vindicate, Father. You're a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and all that we imagine, Father. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, open, Father, the floodgates of heaven, Lord, and let it rain in this place, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, before we leave tonight, we want to intercede on behalf of this evangelism revival. Father, put us all in one heart and one mind and one accord that we may come and that we may get the tools that are needed, that we can go out and tell a lost and dying world about a Savior that can save a heart, save a mind, and save a soul, Father. Put us on one accord. Tear us up, wake us up, and bring us to the household of the Lord tomorrow, that we might learn and that we might be everything that you called us to be for such a time as this, that we might make you known in the year of 2012. It may be the year, Father, that Bethlehem made you known and that more people got saved, Father, delivered and set free, Father. Put us, Lord, on one accord.
Hello again, this is Pastor Michael Eaton. I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing, for now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. We love, believe by faith that you've been born into the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in a economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God. I believe God can do it for us. And we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.